Welcome to Lives of Pitch, the podcast where we pitch the best films that'll never get made. I'm Matt Turner.
And I'm Tom McGrath. And the game goes like this. We ask you, our devoted listeners, to come up with titles that you'd like to hear us pitch.
We then collaborate, coming up with story points, casting, and even marketing strategies.
Without further ado, this week's title is... Waiter, there's a spy in my soup.
Damn. That is really Whoa. Good. Isn't it?
That is a really, really... That's been one of the best titles I think I've ever got.
Like that. Oh, that, you know, okay, so we're doing food-based genre this week, listeners. Welcome to the Last Pitch Podcast.
Yep.
with us, we have Ed Crawley.
Welcome
Hi. To the show.
Ed Crawley, comedian...
Ish.
Stand-up comedian.
Ish.
Improviser. Comedian.
Less-ish.
Less-ish, yeah.
Less-ish, I'll take that, thank you.
and you're here to help us pitch what we like to call hungry movies.
Yum.
This week's title given to us by Alex, not safe for work keen, from the Strike podcast.
Friend of the show,
yeah, indeed. Uh-huh. Yeah, great title. He gave us many more after that for some reason.
Didn't think, oh, I've solved life's a pitch. Yeah. I'll just finish here.
He gave us that. I saw it. I was like, you've won. Don't do any more, Alex. It's you've got yourself covered there. Alex got in touch with us on facebook.com/ Life's a Pitch podcast. You can also find us on Twitter @ Life's a Pitch Show as well, where we give out genres every week for you to give your title suggestions.
We're also @ Life's a Pitch Show on Instagram, so go over there and do that thing. Just talk to us on there. Just talk to us anywhere. Just chat.
Talk to us.
Just give us a weird look.
Do you want to hear some honorable mentions?
Yes!
Thank God.
Okay, so from Bobby Anderson, we've got Time Cop.
How is time spelled?
I was about to say, guess how time is spelled.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, we're doing food, right?
So, yeah, yeah.
T-I-M-E.
No.
Obviously. It has to be.
No.
It takes time to cook your food. This cop goes round making sure everyone's thoroughly cooked their pork joint.
The cop named Rosemary, obviously.
Detective Rosemary. What have you been doing?
I've been cooking the time, sir.
Cooking the time?
Cooking the time, yes. Making sure... It's... I don't know who this is. Making sure all the pork joints are cooked the correct time. That's what I meant by cooking the time.
So this it's is... Maggie Smith, then?
Maybe.
Mr. Potter!
Constable Porter!
Are you...
Detective Rosemary!
Have you been cooking a pork joint wrong?
Did you preheat the oven?
Well, I don't know what I'm...
Preheating time does not contribute to the overall time of cooking!
I'm ever so sorry, Mom. I'm so sorry. This is Hugh Grant. I'm terribly sorry, Mom. I don't know what came over me.
I'll have your badge for this, Constable Potter!
It's a Christmas movie, again.
Your badge that says whether you've got a category D or E microwave!
I'm gonna throw the book at you! The cookery.
It's a fine Nigella.
Time cop, yeah. I think it is somewhat... It's like a supernatural force that goes around...
Seizing people's food,
tasting people's meals, and killing them. And the only, and if killing them if they got the seasoning wrong, and the only like telltale sign is a perfectly seasoned pot of stew, because they've fixed it after they killed the original.
The time cop's been about. It's like, oh yes, that's me, Maggie Smith. Time cop.
Thanks, time cop.
Rips open their head and
stuff. Wait, hang on. Did you say she was some kind of spectral figure?
Yeah. She's like the ghost of Christmas past.
Yet she's known for being a cop.
Yeah.
Well, it is the festive season.
Yeah, but
that's a double pun, goddammit.
That was a great double pun.
She's
surely time ghost.
No.
No.
No, that'd be Zeitgeist. That's
yeah,
not a movie.
I submitted that weeks ago and you didn't pick it.
We honourable mentioned it.
Yeah, you did.
So, yeah, no, she's a time cop because she's gone rogue. Mm. She's gone rogue because, like, there is a regular group of people who are like, right, how about this? Jamie Oliver goes a little bit too far in terms of, like, dictating how people are supposed to eat. And, like, he's already finished with schools.
Oh, yeah, he's
now
done
he's
schools.
Moving on to the rest
he's
of
done them. Prisons.
Yeah.
And now just society.
And so he's sending inspectors around. And they're supposed to teach people how to season their food correctly and eat better, right? Maggie Smith goes rogue. And now Jamie Oliver has to track
wait,
her
so
down.
It's like the big face-off at the end is just like a massive 2-hour real-time cook-off.
But Jamie Oliver's built this, like, organization.
Yeah.
This Orwellian organization.
The Ministry of Plenty.
Yes.
Well, no, the Season Society, or the Ooh. SS, as they're called.
Right, yes, because he hires like, it's some kind of detective to try and track down Maggie Smith, because he's like, she's gone rogue.
Oh, mm. Clearly Gordon Ramsay.
Yes, Gordon Ramsay has to track down
Where
Maggie
the Smith. Fuck is she?
I love how this is cast with celebrity chefs
and
Maggie
Smith. Yeah, yeah, okay. Anyway, so, and then, like, but then he realises over time that Jamie Oliver created Maggie Smith in his pursuit of pushing them further and furthering the ideology of the SS. He has sent her off the edge, and she's gone around using her powers for bad, ripping off people's heads and stuffing their necks full of the seasoning, like a packet of seasoning that they should have used in their cooking.
Oh, of course. And then the femme fatale character comes in. Nigella
Lawson,
obviously.
Yeah.
Femme fatale comes in and is going to look for her. She's like, just walks in. So it's noir, obviously.
Mm. Yep.
Clearly. So walks into Gordon Ramsay's office.
She walked into my fucking kitchen. Like, she bloody owned the place. I said, well, it's a good job you bloody owned the place, Nigella. I've been waiting in, I've been renting this kitchen from you for ages.
Slams a bag onto the desk, opens it up, a little briefcase, and just pulls out a fistful of kale. just slaps Gordon Ramsay upside the face with it. I need your help with a case.
With a kale? That doesn't make any sense. All right, well, should we go on another honourable mention?
Yeah, sure. From Joe Thompson, we've got Ham Hands.
Okay, so John Hamm loses his hands in a horrible accident. Mm. And he was working in a soup factory.
Mm.
Because that's where they have all massive knives, clearly.
Yeah. They got to chop the solid chop the soup up into, into the liquid.
Yeah, yeah. So John Hamm loses both his hands in a horrible soup canning accident. And little bits of his hands just kind of disappear into the tins and are shipped. 40,000.
Yeah, it's not just a big knife. It's not just big knives. It's a cubing mechanism.
Oh, clearly.
Like, it just, like, comes down and there's a grid and it's just like, shum. Like, your hands are now cubes of just...
And lateral knives come out as well.
Yeah,
so it's
yeah.
Fully cubed.
Oh, my God, no. And then John Hamm has to track down...
Every piece of his hands.
No. Like, his hands have been, like, chopped off perfectly so that, like, they just end up in the can squeezed up. Yep. But, like, somehow they're a coveted item.
I think...
Oh, I'd buy that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a cult of cannibals finds out about the accident because he sues...
Oh, yes.
He sues the soup company.
Mm.
And they find out that there are some rare cans out there with a man's hands in them.
Oh,
pee and ham
soup. Day long.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So these
pee and ham with two M's.
Yeah,
obviously.
Yeah.
These cannibals. This cult of cannibals are out to, like, once the news hits like this person's face, like Willy Wonka and the.
I got a golden ticket.
I got a golden ticket. But with John Hamm's hands.
I got a piece of John Hamm.
Well, I think we in the pre credits, like the pre, like, sorry, the
cold open.
Yeah, the cold open to the film. We have this accident, and then we pick up. We cut to black. Pick up 6 months later after the lawsuit, and John Hamm's going through his daily life. He's back to normal, but then stuff starts to get weird because he starts to get like sent letters from people asking him to join clubs and like come and meet them, and that they were their big fans. And he's like, "What's going on here? Why do these people want to meet me? I'm just a dude with no hands, just hanging around, you know, living from the money I got from this lawsuit."
Yeah.
And then he realizes that over the course, he realizes this cult has developed a taste for his flesh through these cans of soup. So now they want more.
They've had the starter. Now they want the main course.
Yeah, because at this point he's like, okay, let's say it's 2 years later, because at this point he's running out of the money that he got from the thing, and then they're like, that someone offers him a job. At first it's weird little invitations to like clubs, or why don't you come round to mine for dinner, sort of stuff. And he's like, I don't know these people, what the hell. People are like contacting him on Facebook and stuff and saying, hi, I'm a big fan, why don't you come to mine.
So these people are across the world and they keep flying him out there at first class expense. So, and then there's kind of just the Illuminati of cannibals.
Yeah,
so like there's like a cabal of like 200 of them, and because they're the ones that could afford the cans,
all wanting to taste some sweet John Hamm.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Because at first it's just weirdos, and then because he's running out of money, a man sends him a reasonable offer of like, hey, I heard about your trauma in the past.
Yeah.
I want to hire you to talk about workplace safety, right?
Yeah.
So he's like, I will pay you £50,000 a year.
I just love the idea of him reading this letter and workplace safety is in inverted commas. And he's just like, why is it inverted commas?
An important question. Yeah. How have they replaced his hands? Because I presume one's a knife and one's a fork.
I was just thinking like regular prosthetics, but there.
I was just thinking he has stumps.
Well, if you want. I don't think it matters that much.
I just want a knife and fork.
Okay, and I just had the image of John Hamm bursting through someone's front door with stumps in a rain mac, rain pouring in on him, and him just going, where are my hands?
Oh, yeah, clearly they're stumps because he had the knife and fork, but he lost them at the airport. He couldn't take them on board.
So he gets flown out to Michigan.
He gets given plastic ones to stick on something.
he gets flown out to Michigan, right? Where the
home of the cabal.
Home of this guy, and it's Daniel Craig is a businessman who is like he seems a bit off, right? Yes. He doesn't seem quite right. He's a little bit scary, and he keeps like inviting him to have hot baths and like, seasoning him and stuff. Just pouring.
Yeah, he tells him, hey, salt.
I love how inviting someone to have hot baths seems kind of plausible, and then the second one, inviting him to be seasoned.
No, he's like, oh yeah, we should go to this spa. They do real good salt rubs.
That makes sense.
At which point, Dan Aykroyd cuts across. They're heading to this spa.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is an absurdly good job that has so many benefits, going to free spas and stuff. I'm into it, right? And at which point, Dan Aykroyd comes along and he's like, hey, I could pay you $100,000 a year to do virtually nothing.
He meets him on the plane.
Yeah,
that's
how.
Oh, he sits next to him.
Dan Aykroyd comes.
He has to cut down his bread roll.
Like the start of
American Gods.
Interesting. Or Mr. Robot. Strange. All these films.
Weird trope.
Yeah. I don't think they meet on a plane in Mr. Robot, but no, they meet on the subway in Mr. Robot, which is, you know, oh my God, Mr. Robot is just Fight Club.
Oh, I'm sure I just heard the sound of breaking glass in your head. Oh, God.
That was weird.
It's still good. Still really good. A really good show.
Fight Club is good.
Yeah. This is the point at which he's like, this is weird, right? I'm being offered ridiculous jobs.
Like, and then you're outbidding him.
Someone behind
Christian
him.
Christian Bale taps him on the shoulder.
Yeah. No.
Patrick Bateman Dock.
Yeah.
Hands him a business card.
He's there in a blood-stained apron and a hatchet.
At which point, right, the big daddy of them all, David Mitchell, has paid for...
We ran out of money.
Has paid for the entire Michigan airport to be cleared. Because they're on this flight to Michigan.
Big money.
Yeah. He's paid for the entire place to be cleared, right? And then he's filled it with his own security force, who are, like, holding all these other businessmen up at gunpoint.
Because only about he's like, 40% of which are cannibals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'll be taking John Hamm now.
Cut to credits.
This is the thing, like, they because on the flight they took away his knife and fork hands.
Yeah,
right.
He's got no defense.
He's got no defense. So he's like it's like a Die Hard thing where all these people he's in this locked in this airport trying to hide from all these cannibals.
Bang bang! Now I have a gun.
Bang bang! Now I've got a knife and fork.
So he raids the canteen first.
Yeah.
There's a 9-minute long scene where he's trying to sort of fish out a knife and fork from the little bowly thing with his hat, with his mouth to attach to his stump.
Because he's been crawling through the vents and like he's goes into the canteen and then he kind of like gets a knife and fork with his teeth, shoves it into his stumps and just goes, like he's in so much pain, but also he's so happy to have a tool back in his hand.
Yeah, he goes full combat mode and just two steak knives.
Yeah, yeah. We'll say he was a Vietnam vet. John Hamm. So like we know where he got all his combat expertise. And this it's just him stabbing a load of cannibals to death in an airport, like in secret. It's just Die Hard again, but like
it's Die Hard 2 specifically.
Yeah, yeah. It's just Die Hard 2, but with like, but also Planet Terror.
with elements of Planet Terror. She's got that gun stuck to her leg. Yeah,
The gun leg. I think I'd watch it.
It's a good one. John Hamm in Ham Hands. John Hamm plays himself.
The Vietnam veteran.
And from Connor Lavelle, like our only cynical listener, I guess, in brackets, he's put obligatory chicken run.
He wants us to talk about chicken run again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
On the off chance Jenny Garner's on it again.
Sorry to disappoint.
It's fine, Ed. We don't like talking about Chicken Run.
But the thing is,
we do, but it's
Chicken Run is about food already. We didn't need to, it's not about chickens. It's about the production of chicken pies and eggs, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, yeah.
So like, sorry, there's nothing more we can do.
Right. Okay. Right. Chickens, right, have been kept in like a prison camp.
All right, good goof. Do we have any awards to give out this week, Tom?
Just before we go on to the final pitch, we've got a very clever award. I'll
play this thing.
Yes, very clever.
That was the sting for the Yes, Very Clever Award. Yep. Yeah, we give that award out to people who've given us titles based around an original title and changed it up a bit, making it sort of a pun. This one from Shannon Graves. We've been given a series of unfortunate entrees.
Ooh.
Oh, very clever.
Yeah, she said starring Neil Spuds and Haggis.
Is that... Wait,
Neil
what?
Patrick
Neil Patrick Harris.
That is so tenuous. Like, so incredibly tenuous.
I love it, though. Thank you, Shannon, for that one. My dad has given us a picture of... Danny DeVito with some rum ham this week.
Thanks, Tom's dad.
Thanks, my dad, for that one. Thank you all for your titles. Sorry if we didn't get round to reading out yours. Again, we've just been inundated with titles this week.
Some really good stuff, and let's keep up the fantastic content, because you guys have been knocking it out of the park every single week for the past while, so keep it up.
Like that, knocking it out of the park.
That's yep. I mean, I'm pretty sure they got it from just the words.
Yep. They didn't have to make the...
I don't even think that's what it sounds like when you knock it out of the park.
No, it doesn't. Thank you again all for your titles this week. Remember to go to facebook.com/ Life's a Pitch podcast and Twitter. If you haven't already, that's at Life's a Pitch show. Just to give us titles every week, give us a chat.
Give us your bank details.
Or your opinions on the show.
But why can't it be both?
Yeah, why don't you create a secret code in which you write your bank details within an opinion of the show, and we have to try and figure it out and then steal the Declaration of Independence. You guys can... If you are listening to this on SoundCloud, make sure you go over to iTunes or wherever you get a regular podcast, your regular podcast feed from, and subscribe over there. And also, if you're listening on iTunes, why not go and give us a follow on SoundCloud or wherever? Maybe leave a nice happy review with 5 of those wonderful stars that cost you nothing. It's a very kind thing to do that people have been doing, and I commend them for it. And of course, if you really want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/ Life's a Pitch podcast, where you can find all of our bonus content that we give to people who help support the show monetarily. You can go over there and actually get movie commentaries, help vote on the genre each week, bonus pictures, and behind the scenes content.
Those patrons are Ross_Originals, My Waste of Talent, Brandon Spanky Mills, Joe Hegarty, Brent Black, and Darius the Unsettling. Thank you guys for those contributions. Remember, the lowest contribution we do is $1 a month, and you get to vote on the genre we do every week, which is like nothing. It's like 20 cents, 25 cents a vote. Okay, so on with our main pitch this week, and that is the title from Alex, Not Safe Work Keen. Waiter, there's a spy in my soup.
Okay. This has got to be a sort of Fawlty Towers style, not in style, but Fawlty Towers setting. Bumbling, we've uncovered a deep, deep well of espionage, right? Like,
I think it's set in a, like you said, a hotel restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's kind of one of those, you know, like the Pink Panther, that scene where there's 12 assassins all going after Clouseau, and they all end up killing each other.
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
So, is this a period piece from, say, the 80s? 70s? Height of the Cold War?
Height of the Cold War seems right. Yeah. I think Height of the Cold War, that's when you've got all that spy thrilly type stuff.
It is. It's not just Le Carre's just wet dream, all of that, wasn't it?
Mm. That's when the Bond shit really kicked off. Yeah. You know, that sort of like...
yeah.
So. Timothy Dalton.
Everyone's favourite Bond.
He's my favourite Bond.
Okay, then.
We're all
entitled to our opinions.
Some of them are wrong.
It's clearly Pierce Bronholm.
Squinty Pierce.
Pierce Brosnan was in GoldenEye, therefore Pierce Brosnan's the best Bond.
Seconded.
Okay. So, anyway, so we've got, like, Height of the Cold War. Who knows things about the Cold War? Because I sure don't.
I know a little. So I'm reckoning this is kind of, you've got a high-level mole in the British government.
Right.
So around this time, there was that kind of the Cambridge spy ring. So you got Kim Philby, and there's a whole group of people in from Cambridge University
right.
that kind of okay. came up and through. Fairly high places in government, just defected or were found, and that's the story.
Mm. Okay.
So we've got a high-level mole right. in the British government.
Right.
And his handler is Mads Mikkelsen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Mads Mikkelsen.
From Hannibal.
From Hannibal, well, the, from the series, Thor not... Dark World.
Yeah.
So who's he working for?
Oh, the Russians.
Yeah, okay. So, like, so the Russians, like, Mads Mikkelsen's...
Senior KGB agent.
Okay, yeah.
Yep.
And he's I guess he's dropping... Wow. As a handler, you have to be in the same country, though, right? Don't you?
Yes. So there's, like, some sort of... Yes. So there needs a way to get the intelligence out of the government
yep.
to Mads Mikkelsen. And the place he does that is where he goes to kind of rural Norfolk on his kind of just weekends away. He's off to the Norfolk Broads.
Yeah. The welcome to the country house hotel Shepherdly. Shepherdly House.
Shepherdly House.
Shepherdly House.
Run by me.
Lance Shepherdly.
Played by.
Is it too on the nose to say John Cleese?
Yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Why not Rowan Atkinson?
Yes. Ooh.
Answer me that question.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a great casting.
Yeah.
Because he's already done, like, Johnny English, but this isn't as silly as Johnny English, right?
Oh, it is.
Oh, it's going to get
there. It'll get there. It's getting there. But this starts out like a fucking Tinker Tailor Soldier spy shit.
Yeah, right? Tinker Tailor Soldier knobhead.
The opening sort of quarter of the film where it's setting up all these spies going to this one hotel.
Yes.
Is like fucking Bourne.
Yeah.
And he's superhuman.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, right? Like, I cannot believe I just said it's not as silly as Johnny English. It's called Waiter, There's a Spy in My Suit. Like, at this point, there's definitely going to be someone snorkeling in a big vat of soup.
That we have to get poster. There. Yeah. Okay, so the high-level mole in the government. Who's that? Who plays that? So that's
so the Russian spy.
Yes,
yeah.
But returned English spy. This is like the most out of the way hotel restaurant in the country.
Oh
right?
Yeah,
and returned.
And it says that on its brochure.
Yeah,
like, that is a selling point.
Yeah.
So defected Russian spy, like
yes,
who's like, or not defected Russian spy, like. Defected Russian like diplomat or someone who knows a lot of stuff
yeah.
has also come to spill the beans to this. He's escaped Russia,
oh,
and now he's
that's
in
where
this...
he's literally gone off the boat.
Yeah, he's also at the Shepherdly House
yeah.
hotel,
and he will be spilling the beans later on.
Yeah, he's bloody. They're like, Vladimir's spilled the beans. What do you mean he's spilled the beans? Oopsie daisy!
It's all over me, look! It's a close up. There's a scene where it just like close ups of people. It's like, he's definitely gone and spilled the beans this time. What do you mean? Look, it's all over.
They're
me.
Everywhere.
Oh.
Okay, God. So the traitor in the British government, Sean Bean.
Sean, yep. Yes.
Walking spoiler, Sean Bean.
Walking spoiler, Sean Bean. Handled by Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah.
And Vladimir, the defected Russian diplomat.
Yeah.
Is.
But why are they going to this hotel? So
because Sean... it just so happens to be completely to be the most out of the way. Everyone has identified it. Somehow it's ended up on a list
yes.
for everyone as the furthest from any like known spies, like no known counter spies.
Yeah,
in the country,
it's like a what's it called? Like a neutral point.
Yeah, so but like
it's
I have the
really
idea.
Rural.
Yes, so like the idea being that when you know someone is a spy, you send a counter spy to track them down. It's like fielding in a sport, right?
Yeah.
You can send someone to mark the other person, right? Mm. They're all tracking each other down. And so all their agents are as far from this place as possible. They like, I want to say someone gets a map out. Sean Connery gets a map out. He's like head of like...
counterinsurgency.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, 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 yeah. In the British government. And he's like... Here's the map of the whole country and where we know their agents are. We've got our agents tracking them down. But the important part is we've got to keep them as far away from their web of information as possible. It is vital that this diplomat is not assassinated.
Yes, so this map, kind of zoom in on this map, and you've got like push pins where all the kind of the spies and counter spies are.
Mm.
Kind of just old, crappy, animated, kind of just dotted lines. You know, like Indiana Jones style.
Yeah, Dad's
just
Army.
Dad's Army arrows, yes. Just all head towards Nurfolk. And the Summersby House.
Shepherdsley House.
And it kind of just zooms into the map, kind of old VHS style kind of tracking line. And it's just there.
Yeah.
Car pulls up, black Daimler, classy.
Mm, very.
Sean Bean gets out, checks in. I've come to check in. To the receptionisty type person.
Played by...
it's Rowan Atkinson.
No, he's the only one in this hotel. You've got...
it's a comedy man. He's the only one running this hotel.
Jesus
Christ. No, it's his 9-year-old daughter.
And he has no idea what's about to happen. He has no idea
the problem is that... There's definitely a twist at the end where he was gathering intelligence all along, right?
Oh, he's like a Chinese spy or something.
He's the person who put it all on the fucking list, right? Like, he's CIA. So, like... And he put this rural Norfolk hotel... on everyone's list as the most...
room is bugged.
He also looked at that map, and there's also, like, a dead hotel owner in the cellar.
Yeah, in fact, so good. He is such a good CIA agent that he knew what they were going to do before they did it. Like, he figured out, he looked at the same map and went, there was only one place to go.
So he's gone in and shot the hotel owner.
Yeah.
And the staff.
And he's bugged every room.
Every room, fully wired for sound and vision.
And that's why the whole thing is shot like a sitcom. Because every room has one camera.
The rest of the film is shot like a sitcom.
Complete with laughter track.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just because he's adding it in for fun. Yeah,
you can just kind of pull out and it's him pushing a button on the left. Like the old style kind of reel-to-reel tape.
I think you could blend this. Like, I think you could totally have the first shot of Sean Bean walking in and there are these big, long mirrors all across the corridors and across some of the rooms, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, it slowly reveals and we keep getting... There's normal shots. There's normal, like, filmic shots.
Mm.
Yeah. And then there are the sitcom shots, the one-camera sitcom shots.
Oh, the one that are all coloured up as well. So
yeah,
all the colouring changes.
Yeah, because they're behind a colour, like, a tinted mirror.
Yeah.
So, like, we're on this runner. We're on these runners with this one camera. And these runners are behind the mirrors. So, like, you kind of start piecing together, if you're paying attention, that... You can quite clearly, and then that it's at that point that like Sean Bean, like, leans into this mirror, and goes, "The bloody hell!" And then that's when, just through the mirror,
is this straight in? Like Sean Bean arrives, just like, "I've come to check in." He gets into the room. He goes,
I skipped forward a little bit. I think.
No.
Okay, that's right, we're going with it now.
Yeah, it's a thing.
30% into the film.
Okay. But they've been introduced already. Sean Bean has been introduced by Rowan Atkinson.
Yeah.
To who do we say? was playing the Russian...
Mads Mikkelsen. Is it Mads Mikkelsen? Oh, the other one. Did we say...
I don't think we said.
No, I don't think we said.
Oh, so it's Anthony Hopkins.
Anthony Hopkins, perfect. Mm. So, yeah, Sean Bean has been introduced to Anthony Hopkins. Like, oh, have you met... that'll be... He'll be staying here. Or I guess he'll say, like, have you met Anthony? He'll be staying here as well, says Sean Bean... not Sean Bean, Rowan Atkinson.
Also, classic. Sean Bean thinks he's the handler because it's his first kind of trip up.
Yeah, mm. And then Rowan Atkinson kills Sean Bean, and then all the way through, Anthony Hopkins is like, "Where was Sean?
Where was that guy?
Where was Sean?
That awfully handsome man?
we've just we killed Sean Bean.
yeah, no, we kill Sean Bean straight away.
Yeah, like, just get it out of the way.
Yeah. Like,
oh, can we not kill him? Can we just humiliate him like in Ronin?
No, we're killing him.
I preferred it when he was just completely emasculated. Just a shouty Robert De Niro.
Maybe. So, what's the arc for this whole thing? Who's our point of view character? And what's the arc?
Actually, no. Maybe Sean Bean is...
Oh, can you not kill him yet? Because I want the two of them to be kind of sat at the in the restaurant. Sean Bean trying to just keep knocking the table legs to see if one's hollow. They're trying to debrief each other.
I've got a new bit for Sean Bean. And that is to go with the marketing and mainly just the suspense of the whole film. Just a B-plot to add to suspense.
Yeah.
Right. He looks at the mirror and goes, what the... Bloody hell, the mirror spins round. They knock him out.
He's on Price is Right.
He's one of the prizes on Bullseye, because this was the 80s.
They knock him out. He wakes up later on in the film in the cellar, constantly being waterboarded by Rowan Atkinson's team.
Then I think at some point he gets sent back
he
out.
He keeps dying. They keep electrocuting him. They keep waterboarding him again, electrocuting him, bringing him back to life. So we don't. Not only do we kill Sean Bean once,
we keep on killing him. I think he's the only person who's going to survive this film. Right?
Yeah.
Like so. I think they send him back out, right? They break him, and they send him back out, like... and they're like, you're going to... They're asking too many questions. You're going to have to go out there, and you are not going to tell a soul what who you are, or and you're going to try and get information out of Anthony Hopkins.
Sean Bean.
Yeah, they're sending Sean Bean out, right?
Yep. Meanwhile,
I think throughout the whole film they just keep waterboarding Sean Bean. He keeps dying,
just
and
keeps
they keep
cutting
bringing him back. Yeah. And at the end, he makes an appearance, only to be the last one alive.
I think he can be a plot device. They can send. They've waterboarded him, killed him a lot of times. They send him back out to try and get this information because at this point, like, it's quite clear that Rowan Atkinson is being a prick.
Yeah.
But, okay, we need to outline, like, this is the problem with Cold War stories. Mm. It's never... and it's the problem with Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy as well. It is never, ever outlined what the problem is. Like, why all these people are sneaking around and not telling each other things.
So, who's the diplomat they're all there to get information from?
Okay, so Sean Bean's passing information to Mads Mikkelsen.
Okay.
Anthony Hopkins has arrived to defect. Okay. So everyone's trying to tell everybody else what they know. Mads Mikkelsen hasn't arrived yet. So you've got Anthony Hopkins and Sean Bean just trying to unload intelligence at each other.
And Anthony Hopkins, like, knows some of the nuclear codes to disarm Russian bombs.
And he's frantically trying to tell him. He's like, no. Here are the British codes.
And they have, like, they're like, oh, yeah, they've got alphabetti spaghetti. And they're, like, trying to spell out. And, like, each of them are like, yeah, you understand. They're nodding to each other.
Just
tapping
just
their nose.
But we've got a... we've got Piers Brosnan in there to add another Bond into it. I think, didn't we say Sean Connery at one point? Oh no, he's the leader of British intelligence, isn't he? Yeah. So Piers Brosnan, he's the one who does the alphabet spaghetti stuff.
Yeah.
But there's a bit where Ron Atkinson, What would you like to eat, sir? And he goes, well, I'll have the alphabetti spaghetti. And then looks across at Anthony Hopkins and like, gives him a wink. And then Rackham says, that's from the children's menu, sir. And he's like, yes, I bloody well know it's from the children's menu. Okay.
I'm quite hungry, but not that hungry.
Do you know who I am? I'm so, Prince James.
So you've also got, just randomly pitching up, just more spies from different agencies.
Yeah.
So you've got just Israeli Mossad rocking up. Gal Gadot.
Yeah.
Gal Gadot. Just rocks up.
Gal Gadot. I love that.
Is that not right?
I've no idea.
Well, some people say Gal Gadot. Some people say Gal Gadot. Some people say Gal Gadot.
Fuck it, Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman appears.
I think at some point, who is the only person who is actually in British intelligence at this point?
Sean Bean.
So at some point, right, Sean Bean, like, he's like, could I, because he's in full view of everyone here and he knows that they all have weapons, right? And he says to Rowan Atkinson, goes up to the head and, could I perchance use your phone, Mr. Bean?
He was actually called Mr. Shepherdsley, but
Mr. Shepherdsley. Could I perhaps, perchance, use, as this is a very normal establishment, I'm sure you'll have a telephone line that I can utilise. And Rowan's like, well, I think it might be broken. He's like, oh no, I was quite sure I saw you making a phone call just a few minutes ago. He's like, and he's basically talking him round to making sure that he can't say no to this request, yeah. Right? Mm. In front of everyone in the, because he's, Sean Bean's orchestrated it so that, like, that Rowan Atkinson can't get him alone and therefore take him back to Waterboard Town. below the hotel, right? And then
where the staff of this hotel are all dead.
Yeah.
But they're just waterboarding Sean Bean.
And at this point, right, this is when it's quite clear that all these other agents know, like, the code word for bringing in, like, British intelligence, right?
Yeah.
So at this point, Sean Bean just picks up the phone and goes, like, Black Dahlia, Black Dahlia, Black Dahlia! And, like, and suddenly everyone draws guns.
With the exception of a couple of old women sat in the corner, just gumming their way through a bowl of soup.
Just like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah. What a bloody hell is going on?
Hey, old Mabel, what's happening here?
I had a bet, like, everyone in the restaurant draws guns. Mm. That's what I had. I also had a better way of getting to it.
Okay. Well, I was just thinking, because the only way that Sean Bean's going to be the last one alive, right, is that Sean Connery just fucking bombs the place.
But, yeah. That's after this gunfight, right, when he goes, Black Dahlia, Black Dahlia, Black Dahlia, whatever. Okay.
Well, at some point, wait, we've skipped over having a spy in a soup.
No, we're going
to get there. This is where we're going to it. They're all in the restaurant, right?
Yeah.
It's built up to this one moment where all the spies are in this one restaurant.
Yeah.
Sean Bean's sat on a table with Piers Brosnan. They're talking about something. They're talking about something very sort of, they both know they're spies.
Yeah, it's really innocuous, but it's coded sounding, like, talking about baseball scores.
Yeah, yeah, but also very threatening as well, like they're about to kill each other.
And the route, and in this, the setup, like, the route out of this hotel, the road out, has been blocked by a fallen tree. Like, mysterious circumstances have made so that nobody can leave.
Yeah, and yeah, that they both know that they're spies, but they both don't know that each other. It's you know, Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah.
That scene with
the bad guy.
The bad guy and the good guy in that car.
Oh yeah.
That scene where they both know who each other is.
Yeah. But they're trying to be cool.
Yeah, they're not trying to let each other go.
Yeah.
Gal Gadot has a sniper point
Of course she does.
She's
in the belfry.
Yeah, yeah. Pointing at the back of Pierce Brosnan's head.
Mm-hmm.
She shoots him. His head goes face down into Sean Bean's soup.
Alphabetti spaghetti.
And casually he calls over Rowan Atkinson and goes, "Waiter, there's a spy in me soup." At which point the place erupts into a massive gunfight.
And this is the point, this is just happening. We can make these both of these scenes work, right? We can have Rowan Atkinson begrudgingly bringing the telephone towards Sean Bean just as the first sniper shot comes through.
Yeah.
And you just hear the vacant ring of the end of the telephone as Sean Bean dives out of his chair, grabbing the telephone and then shouting into the phone that's obviously been tapped by everyone.
Yes. he picks up the phone.
It's got like beeping devices on every inch.
Just all underneath it, just a grid
of different insignias.
Yes. So there's gunfire going off everywhere. I think, yeah, like you said, Sean Connery bombs the place.
Yeah.
He's like, that just got out of hand. Really?
It turns out that all those people who were on the map everywhere all turned up at the one place. And so all the spies in England are now gone.
With the exception of two IRA just pulling up, clearly with a bomb in the boot.
Late
to the party.
That's the thing.
They got
place,
locked out by the tree.
The place is bombed, right? The place is bombed, like, airstrike.
Yep.
Going by, Sean Bean manages to get out the rubble. Like, he's the one that's died six times already in this movie. He gets out. Those two appear in the car.
I think that Anthony Hopkins, who's the only other person who's into British intelligence, survives and actually uses in the rubble, finds the what are they called, the CPR machine, the defibrillator, to bring Sean Bean back. It's quite clearly the only thing, like, it quite clearly works no matter what on Sean Bean.
He brings back Sean Bean and then gets shot by the IRA.
Actually, no, it's one of the old ladies. It's gotta be, hasn't it?
Yes.
One of the old ladies.
Like, the rubble's come down, it's Sean Bean getting up, they're still there eating the eating the spaghetti.
And then
I just really want to kind of just pull off the Mission Impossible mask and you've got Jackie Chan from Chinese intelligence.
I was ready to die, but you're not.
Yeah, that's how we end the film.
Yeah.
Yeah, just in a crater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sean Bean stood there like, I was the only one who survived that.
There's got to be, at some point, there's got to be a Rowan Atkinson speech, right? Like, where he's uncovered and then says why he's drawn all these spies here.
Oh, a decent sort of monologue-y.
Yeah. Maybe that's...
Why did he want them all there again?
To find out all their secrets.
Oh, yeah, fair
enough. Exclusively.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe to blow them all up.
I brought you all here to find out all your secrets.
And then blow you up and so I'm the only one who knows them.
Yeah, that's what he says. Get in the waterboarding chair. Everyone go to waterboard town. So, that was...
Waiter, there's a spy in my soup. I feel like every time anyone mentions spies, we just get confused. Yeah.
That's the genre.
Yep. Waiter, there's a spy in my soup.
Ah. Yeah. I feel like also the soup was poisoned.
Yeah, no, it stopped Sean Bean from eating it.
Yeah.
There's a whole bit where...
Oh, yeah, yeah. So we knew it was poisoned every time he kind of put the spoon to his kind of mouth. Somebody stop him.
Yeah. And then the last time when he's like... Well, why didn't you try the soup and then you can make your phone call? There's no need of disturbing your dinner time just to
phone will still
business.
Be there in 10 minutes
when you've had your dinner, and then and then at that point he's about to move the spoon to his lips, and then Gal Gadot shoots.
Yeah.
And all the whole thing starts. That's it. There we go.
Yeah.
Spy in my soup.
Thank you all. for listening.
Yes.
To this food-based...
Most of it was food-based.
Yeah, yeah. Most of it was film-based. Most of it
was film-based. All of it was film-based,
but most
actually.
Of them have been film-based, episode-wise.
But also, thanks, Ed, for coming on the show.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Where can people find you if you want to be found?
If you want to.
So I... co-host something called Right Radio, which is at Sheffield Live Radio. So there's a weekly show Monday, Fridays, I think 1 till 3, and I am once a month, so one every four there is a comedy show, and we kind of take turns to alternate through different genres of comedy. So it's on Sheffield Live Radio, but you can also go on their website and download kind of, or listen to the podcasty type kind of bits of it
On Right Radio, where is that?
On the Sheffield Live Radio website.
Okay, cool.
Yes,
cool. You
can find it on there.
Which is sheffieldlive.org,
I believe.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so go check that out. I'm sure you're going to be wanting to listen to the next episode, or is it in two?
So the comedy one will be going out on the 29th.
Okay.
And is all themed around podcasting.
Yep.
So if you want to know more about podcasting, there will be chocks loads for you to listen to there,
including an interview with ours truly. Is that, can you say that, ours truly? Does that work?
Just did.
Our, with,
or
interview
us.
With us,
yeah.
As normal truly. People say.
It's not, yeah, you say yours truly for me, right? It can't then be ours truly for both of us.
Yeah, that's a weird, yeah. That's a weird one.
Anyway, so yeah, cheers for listening. Go over there and listen to the podcast bits if you're international, or
all of it.
Tune into Sheffield Live if you are local. And until you find yourself stuck among hundreds, potentially, of counter-insurgent spies and people wanting to poison your soup, and the only way that you can get out is by being waterboarded to death and then then brought screaming back into life again. I've been Matt Turner.
I've been Tom Graff.
I've been Ed Crawley.
And until then, remember who pitched it.
Bye!